Okay, it's mine to close. I'm the closer, okay. I have a plate. This plate is not for eating, and it's not for a special collector's item. It is a plate I created for a special purpose. In white letters, I sat in a little craft barn and carefully painted the word choose on the plate, a drastic contrast to the plate's background. I am a high school English teacher, and I love my students. I've been teaching for 18 years, and I've loved every single moment. But on the first day of class, I lift up this plate, and that's a picture of the actual plate, and I tell them, today you are being offered a plate. You can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you respond to it. I also have a stamp. Not a postage stamp or a tattoo. It's an actual stamp that when it's pressed, it says the word choose. And if a student chooses to respond to an assignment by moaning or groaning or an eye roll or a loud sigh, guess what they get? The choose stamp. I've even been known to chase them around the room and stamp them with the choose stamp. Because we can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we respond to it. Just a few years ago, it was a winter snowy day. I live in the Midwest in Indiana, and so it feels like almost every day is a winter snowy day. And I wanted to snuggle down deeper into my covers, but I had to go to work. I had to go teach. So I pulled myself out of bed. I left my squashy pillow. I love squashy pillows. My husband likes them firm. I like them squashy. And I leaned into the mirror, and I saw on my face zits. Now, adults, are you with me? I thought when I got out of puberty, I would never have any of that anymore, but I still did. So anyway, nothing spectacular happened to me that day. I didn't win Mother of the Year. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. I didn't win Mother of the Year. I didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. I didn't even find the missing sock I had been looking for. No one was nicer than usual, and I didn't get my favorite lunch. I'm a big Chipotle fan. That is my favorite. It was a completely average, ordinary day. But that morning, for some reason, I straightened up, I looked in the mirror, and I said, today is going to be the best day ever. I was being offered a plate, and I had a choice. What if we made that simple decision every single day to say that that day would be the best day ever? What if I told you it's possible? Usually when people think of the best day ever, they think of graduation day. They think of their wedding day when they get married. They think of the family vacation where you rode every single coaster in the park. But my supremely best day would include reading lots of books and taking a long bicycle trip with my family. John 10:10 is going to be our key verse for today. And the verse says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, meaning Jesus, have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I'd love for you to memorize that because Jesus wants us to have a full life. And in Carey translation, that means the best day ever. I want to make the choice, the same choice every day. Jesus wants us to breathe the fullness of life. He has given us the opportunity to have the best full life, and he is offering it to us. Now, I'm not saying if we magically make a choice, nothing bad will ever happen to us. Jesus himself told us that in this world, we will have trouble. We will. It's not an option. He says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief wants death to destroy us by attacking our enemies, our relationships, our emotions, our finances, our fear, our everything. The thief wants to steal our hope, our joy, and our faith. Basically, the enemy is all about destruction. And in that same chapter, Jesus, in John 16:33, says he implores us to take heart because he has overcome the world. I don't care who you are, that's good preaching. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? Amen. There we go. I like that. If we don't make the choice to believe what Jesus says, that he has come for us to have a full life, that he has overcome the world, then the thief will steal from us. We can have a full life in Jesus, and that, my friends, is the best day ever adventure. So today is the best day ever. You know why? Because if today were my last day, I would want it to be my best day. Therefore, today is the best day ever. We have all had experience with death and losing someone dear. I lost my daddy to leukemia when I was 22 years old, 10 days after my wedding, the day I got back from my honeymoon. We've all had deeply horrible things happening in our lives, but we can't wait until we receive that cancer diagnosis to decide to live life to the full. Amen? That's what today is all about, the choice. It's a dangerous choice. It's a John 10:10 choice. This isn't something to be taken lightly. Okay, I know. Best Day Ever sounds like the SpongeBob theme song or something cutesy that you would put on a shirt or something that your kids would say on Christmas morning. It's the best day ever. But this isn't a cutesy talk. And none of the ideas that I'm going to give you this morning are cutesy. This is your official invitation to join me in the Best Day Ever adventure. There could be a lot of reasons you came here today. Maybe you came out of habit. Maybe you came because it's Mother's Day and Mom asked you to. Maybe you just really need a jump start on your life. You are ready to grow and you want Jesus to do something miraculous. Maybe you're tired, exhausted, burned out. I'm challenging you to choose. Living the Best Day Ever adventure is a lifestyle. It's an invitation to join a serious revolution. It's the decision to choose. And today I will challenge you to make some choices. Last summer, I was reading through Ephesians and had a revelation. You know how sometimes when you read the scripture, you've read it 1,000 times, but you feel like it's so new? That's what's so great about scripture. It's living and active. I was reading Ephesians, and I figured out that Ephesians really gives us all the tools that we need to live this best day ever adventure. My revelation was that the John 10:10 lifestyle can be lived every day with these tools. Guys, we have a calling to bring Jesus fame in our sphere of influence. Do you hear that? We have a calling to make him famous in our sphere of influence. And we're going to do it by living like he has saved us from the fire. Oh, wait. He did save us from the fire. Amen? All right. So now we're going to start with the very first chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to be opening our Bibles. If you have your Bible with you or your device, go ahead and open that up. And I want to encourage you, if you look at this picture, I don't know how well you can see it, but that is the beginning of Ephesians for me, and it has been marked up. I have some students who don't like to write in books. They're like, I will not. I need a post-it note. It must be organized. But I love marking in my Bible because I feel like I can have a conversation with myself every time I read those scriptures. I have places marked in scripture that say, delivered from cancer, delivered from anxiety. That scripture is where I go and have conversations with Jesus about life. So how do we live this best day ever adventure? I'm going to quickly go through 8 ways we can live life to the full every single day. Now, I could talk about this forever, but I promise you'll be out on time and ready to go to graduation today. So number one, the first thing we need to do in order to live the best day ever adventure is to remember we are chosen. In Ephesians 1:4, it reads that he chose us in him before the creation of the world, and in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Here's what's crazy. He has always loved us, even before he knew us, and he knew we were going to do some really dumb things, and he still loved us, and he chose us. That's really exciting when you grasp that freedom. I am adopted. I am the first woman in my family who actually had natural birth with my daughter, Kaden. But Brady, my husband, is also adopted. And we feel chosen. Our parents chose us. But imagine how much more that Jesus chooses you and loves you just the way that you are. So as you bravely enter this best day ever adventure, don't forget, he handpicked you. And in order for you to come to Jesus, you don't have to get your ducks in a row. When you come to Jesus, he'll put your ducks in a row. He will. Amen? Amen. The next step in living the best day ever adventure is to belong, not just believe. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Folks, look around you. These are your fellow citizens. In fact, some of you are going to think you're too cool to do this, but you're not too cool to do this. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, fellow citizen. Oh, no. Okay, that doesn't work. No. So I have a rule in my classroom, boring is not allowed, and that was super boring. So we're going to try that again. Look at your neighbor and with some enthusiasm say, hello, fellow citizen. That's so much better, and I keep tripping. Okay, all right. In all seriousness, we tend to make ourselves an island. We isolate ourselves. We get busy with work and school and kids and home and husband and wife and friends. And we forget that we need each other. If we read on in Ephesians 2, at verse 17, it says that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the saints to grasp how deep and wide and high is the love of God. We need each other. It's important to notice that we should grasp that love with all the saints. When we experience God's love, it changes us in our hearts, and we need to be able to share that with someone. We are either a productive, contributing member of our churches, or we are actively contributing and tearing apart our churches and communities. We do this together. If you love Jesus, be committed to his church and to his people. Don't isolate. Mentor someone and find someone to mentor you. Be a disciple of Jesus. But we need to join the team of Christ followers. We need to do this together. When we belong, when we see Jesus in each other, something good is happening. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He gave us the tools to live the best ever adventure. He knew we would struggle with isolation. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come so you may have life and have it more abundantly. And when we have someone else to share that with, it just helps us to grow in community. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you have no idea who someone would be who would mentor you. A very wise person, my husband, said, stop the excuses and start the accountability. Stop looking for the perfect person and start looking at every person. This Christian life is meant to be shared. It's not to be kept held tight inside of us. Who are we helping to come to Jesus and to shine for Jesus by mentoring them? And then who is mentoring you? The third step I found in living the best day ever adventure is to forgive. Okay, this could be really hard because often we are justified in our unforgiveness, especially if the act was unfair and we don't feel like they deserve our forgiveness. But Ephesians 4:31 is clear. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Now, forgiveness and trust are two entirely different things. But unforgiveness is like letting someone live rent-free in your head. They have control over you, and it slowly eats away at you. When I was in college, there was someone who hurt me very badly. It was justified. What he did was wrong. But I held on to my anger like a stuffed pet dog, and I pet it, and I kept it near to me. I felt justified, and it made me feel better just to hold on to that anger. Was it justified? Absolutely. I was taken advantage of. I was hurt, but it was only hurting me. Have you ever noticed that the scripture in the Bible is there not to give us rules and regulations to follow, but to protect us? Jesus doesn't want us to hurt. But all the anger and bitterness was destroying me. I can't tell you the freedom I felt when I finally gave up and forgave. Besides, Jesus forgave me. And that's pretty crazy because I don't deserve it. Just another step in the best day ever adventure. Number four. Now maybe we should review. What was number one? Oh, look how smart you are. I'm gonna become the English teacher now. Now spell it. Just kidding. You don't have to spell it. What was number two? Belong, right. Be part of a community of believers. And number three? Forgive. You guys are so smart. And you're not even taking notes, some of you, and you still know. Good job. I'm gonna tell my students you guys were great this morning. Number four is build others up. Phew, this is a hard one. Because what about that one person who treated me unjustly? What about that person? I've invited her over to my house three times and she has only invited me over once. That's true. What about him or her? What about when my husband forgets to get my iced tea again? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which builds others up. Whoa. Don't you think the world would be a much better place if we all depended on that verse about the way we talked to each other, about each other, behind each other's backs? When you have trouble saying nice things to that person's face, which hopefully Jesus will help you do as you continue to abide in him and love him, you can use what I call a third-party compliment. Just watch this video. got it? Okay.
Gossip is like a cage. It keeps you trapped. It gives people the incorrect perspective of who you are. Gossip holds you back from being the best and true version of yourself. So you need to use another kind of gossip. Third-party compliments. Use the hashtag third-party compliments to write tweets that are positive about your friends, your family, the person you sit next to in math class. Third-party compliments are you telling the world about someone else in a positive way. So it's positive gossip. So use the hashtag third-party compliments. So don't end up in a cage. Stop gossiping about other people. It doesn't allow you to be free, to be who you really are. Use third-party compliments and make the world a better place.
Don't ask what people thought when I was inside a cage. It was just, anyway. So when we talk about unwholesome talk, this happens everywhere. It happens in the church, it happens in school, it happens on social media. But when we talk about others behind their backs in a positive way, it changes everything. So we're going to try that right now. Because when we do third-party compliments, for instance, if I were to say, so Harold, I met you this morning, nice to meet you again. If I were to say, you know what, Pastor Terry and Giselle have been so kind to me. They've taken me out to eat. They've really been kind and they've welcomed me here. And so I'm telling him something good about them, and hopefully he'll go and tell them. Unwholesome talk is very easy to get sucked into because we feel we have the right. And there's nothing wrong with being critical and looking at it and see how we can make something better. But more often than not, we don't tame our tongues. So basically, third-party compliments are positive gossip. Oh, and I'm not just talking about unwholesome talk about other people. I'm talking about unwholesome talk or thoughts you have about yourself. Yep, I said it. We all play negative tapes in our heads all the time. There are definitely parts of our bodies we do not like. Mine is my nose. Whenever I look in the mirror, I'm like, nose, you are way bigger than the proportion of my face. So I say that, and I try to suck it in for pictures in a way that my nose doesn't look so big, but I keep focusing on the negative instead of focusing on the positive. We are only supposed to say stuff that builds others up. That's what Ephesians says. And also for those who will be benefited by hearing what we have to say. Look at that part of the verse. It does not benefit you when you're listening to yourself speaking negatively about who you are. And one more thing about unwholesome talk. That includes social media. You guys aren't going to want to have me back again. What you say on social media is there forever. Are you saying things that benefit those who listen? Or in this case, read? Are you lifting up your pastor, your church, your nation? Or are you a source of negativity online? We often justify our words because we feel we have the right to say them, but it doesn't lift others up. Why are we practicing that kind of negativity? It doesn't make anything better. Ephesians says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's a great rule to give yourself. If it doesn't benefit me or others, then I'm not going to post it, say it, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me not to think it. The more you practice, the easier it will be. For 30 days, I took the no complaining challenge. I gave myself a challenge and I drew a little black X on my finger. And I tried for 30 days to make sure I wasn't complaining about anything. And I'm a pretty positive person, but you can't imagine. Every time I look down and I'm like, there, I did it again. You know, no more snow, no more rain. I was always complaining. But what that also reminded me is every time I looked at that X on my finger, I saw that three fingers were pointing back at me. And I figured out that maybe I was the problem. Number five, the fifth step in living this best day ever adventure is for us to imitate Jesus by loving, serving, and submitting. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God, therefore as deeply loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to live radical lives for Jesus. Jesus didn't call us to be safe. He called us to be dangerous. We need to imitate Jesus and give up our rights, give up our advantages, and give up our lives. Most people who call themselves Christians have never really had to live a radical life. They haven't had to change anything they're comfortable with. But what if we started a revolution, friends? What if we decided the best ever adventure was to daily imitate Jesus through loving, serving, and submitting? Submit can sometimes be seen as a negative word because we don't want to give up our rights. But that reminds me of when Jesus was standing before all these people and he was right. He didn't deserve to be killed. He was right. And he didn't say a word. What if we decided the best ever adventure was to imitate Jesus? It all belongs to Jesus. And when Jesus calls us, it's not just a path, it's a promise. We need to tell him this: Jesus, I want what you want, even if that makes me uncomfortable. Can you pray that today? Because if you can, I'm telling you, friends, the best ever adventure is just waiting for you right around the corner. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We need to wake up. Our spiritual lives are not just contained in a God box that consists of Sunday morning and maybe a Bible study or a small group. He wants us to imitate him with radical lives. He wants us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received every single day. Number 6 is one of my favorites. The best ever adventure has to include adventure. If Jesus said he wanted us to live life to the full, I believe he wanted us to enjoy what we have on this earth in as much as we can. No one is too old for adventure. No one. Just a few years ago, my mother-in-law, Joy Weishart, who is one of the most adventurous people I know, sent me a video of her on one of those bouncing swings at the carnival, at the fair. This woman is, you know, in her 60s and she's bouncing in a chair. And I'm not saying that that's your kind of adventure, but we may retire from jobs, but we don't retire from life. There's so much left for you. In Ephesians 5:15, it says that we should be careful how we live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. I studied this verse for a long time, and I pulled out some commentaries. And this particular commentary that I studied said that we should do good while we can because our days are short. My husband always says, I want to do the things that matter in this life because this life is short, and the next life is long. So if I do things in this life that matter in that life, then it's all worth it. Amen? This life is short. I was telling the high school students this morning, 4 years feels like forever when you're in school. But in the grand scheme of things, it's just a blip on the radar. We have a life to live. I believe we spend too much of life living for the next big thing. As teachers, this is how it rolls, and the students will understand this. When we get to school, we wait for fall break, and then after fall break, we wait for Christmas break, and after Christmas break, we wait for winter break, and then we wait for spring break, and then we wait for summer, and we're always waiting for the next moment, the next vacation, the next day off. What if you decided to grab every moment just where you are and live in that particular moment? Remember, we have a calling to bring him fame in our sphere of influences, and what better way to bring him fame than living our lives loudly. Excuse me. Making the most of every opportunity, trying new things, loving the world he created, pushing ourselves to be better versions of ourselves. I want to live life loud. Now, your loud might be different than my loud. My husband says my loud is nothing like his loud because he doesn't have loud. That's why we work well together. When I turned 40, I made a list of 40 things I wanted to do in the year that I turned 40 because I decided I don't know how long my life is going to be. My dad didn't know that when he turned 49, he would be diagnosed with leukemia and die 6 months later. He didn't know that. So I want to live this life like every day is my last. So at the risk of making myself look foolish, I'm going to show you a video of one of the things I did in the year I turned 40. And what it was to make a snow angel in the snow, 9 inches, in shorts and a t-shirt. But I do want to point out, at the end of this video, you're going to see my daughter, and she says something really interesting about my little escapade here. So this was my year of the brave.
Today is February 2nd, 2015. We just got out of a 15-inch snow blizzard. It is 9 degrees. You can see my breath in the air. And it is my year of the brave, the year I'm going to do 40 adventurous things in the year I turn 40. And I am getting ready to run and do a face plant incredible angel snow angel dive in this
angel
snow.
Angel snow angel dive. That was it.
Here we go.
Okay. This is it.
Three, two, one. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Now watch for my daughter here.
Okay, come on, get my boots.
So dramatic.
She was 10 at the time. When your 10-year-old daughter tells you you're so dramatic, you know you're in trouble. When I turned 40, I decided I was going to make a choice. I never wanted any of those over-the-hill parties. I love getting older. I learn more, and I grasp and I choose every single day. I have gray hair. I have wrinkles. I have lots of gray hair. I just put black dye over it. But I choose. I love getting older because I've made the choice. So this list included things like, yes, I was here in your state. I rode Ragbri 2 years ago. Solid 500 miles, the whole thing from top to bottom. That was one of the things on my list. I wanted to ride a mechanical bull, memorize the Apostles' Creed. And one day, I even only ate things that started with the same letter all day long. Don't ask me why that was a cool adventure, but I liked it. I'm not saying you need to do a snow angel in shorts in the middle of winter, but I am saying you need to make the most of every opportunity. Jesus wants us to live our lives loud, because when you live your life loud, and whatever loud looks like for you, it can be very different, but when we live our lives to make Jesus famous, people want to know where that comes from. They want to know why we love life the way we do, and what we can say is, I have a Jesus who rescued me from the fire, and I owe him all of me, so I'm going to live this life he's given me, to the full. Amen? I love the song that plays on the radio. I don't know if you've heard it, called Thrive. My favorite line is, we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. I believe God wants us to live the fullest, loudest lives, and that will be different things for different people. But I'm going to enjoy life, and by doing so, show others how excited I am about the life Jesus has given me. Just two left. Number seven, we need to put on our armor. We have probably all heard of the famous armor of God passage in Ephesians, but how many of us actually use the protection we have been given? In order to live this best day ever adventure well, we need the armor, really. In order to fight the daily grind, the unexpected disease, the relationship pain, all the things Satan uses to discourage and pull us from our Jesus, we need his armor. Friends, we need to pray, and we need to read the Bible. I found a beautiful quote written in my Bible about how to pray in the Spirit. It says, seek his presence, express our gratitude, adore his character, wait in silence, weep for others, invite his work, confess our fears. It goes on and on, but the end says, claim his promises. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I had already learned how to live and die well from my father, who died very quickly from leukemia. But I don't want to wait for that cancer diagnosis to live life this way. Many of us struggle to find time to pray and read, but friends, let's just be real. We need to stop being busy. A few months ago, I felt convicted to take the word busy out of my vocabulary for good, because it had become a crutch, an excuse, and a way to compete with others in conversations about who was the busiest. We don't need to do half the things we do. We do the things we want to do. If I want to binge watch something on Netflix, I do it. I do it. But how much time do I actually take with the Savior who rescued me from the fire? Are you hearing me, my friends? What Jesus did for us is beyond what anybody we know would ever do for us. We owe him all the praise and all the glory. If you knew your children were going to be walking to school in a storm, wouldn't you outfit them with boots, a warm coat, an umbrella? You wouldn't push them out in the rain with thin clothes and no covering. Think of your prayer, your reading, your covering. As time and relationship, you need to be discipled by Jesus. Moms, dads, if we can tell our children to look both ways before they cross the street, and we say that's a non-negotiable, if we can tell our students that it's non-negotiable for them to do your homework, it's non-negotiable for us to show up to our job, why is it negotiable to spend time with Jesus? In order to obey God like Jesus obeyed God, we need to live intentionally and radically. We need to decide today that before we do anything else, we will spend time with our precious Savior. And we all know this. Sometimes it's hard to get into the habit, but when I do, I watch that the rest of my day happens to fall in line because I have put Him first. He is the first part of our day. You know, we tithe our money all the time, 10%, 10% tithe our money, but do we tithe our time? Do we give the first fruits to Jesus? A few months ago, I felt Jesus challenging me to start my morning with Him. That's really tough because I'm a school teacher and I leave the house often at 6 a.m. anyway. So I was saying, Lord, really? I can read really well at night in bed. I'm really good at that. And He said, no, I want you to start your day with me. So I did. There was a radical transformation in the eyes that I had to see people who were hurting because Jesus, I was living in His overflow. When we're filled up, what comes out is Jesus. When we're not filled out, what comes out is human. Finally, to live the best ever adventure, we need to fearlessly share the gospel with others. In a survey that was done by Lifeway, it is revealed that 61% of Christians have never shared the gospel with someone. And 8% were scared to tell others they are Christians at all. In Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, Paul asked the people of Ephesus to pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. My favorite two phrases in that passage are, whenever I open my mouth, and as I should. When we spend time with Jesus, we should be so overflowing with His love that whenever I open my mouth, I am fearlessly declaring the gospel, whether I'm actually saying those words or not. I'm a public school teacher, as I shared with you before, so I don't have the ability to share my faith out loud, but I can show that fearless love of the gospel by the way I treat people and by the way I act when I'm around them. One morning, I was with my discipleship girls. We meet at 6 a.m. on Monday mornings, and we were praying and going, and I felt the Lord say to me, you need to pray for one of your colleagues at the high school. I will tell you guys, I'm always going to be honest and transparent. I was like, Lord, are you kidding me? I don't know if she knows Jesus. She's going to think I'm crazy. What's going to happen when I do that? The Lord said, pray for her today. So I told my accountability partners, and they were holding me accountable, and I got to school, and I saw Rebecca, and I said, Rebecca, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you today, and she starts sobbing. The same God who calls us to obedience, to fearlessly share the gospel, is the same God who can go ahead of you and talk to those people before you and give them a ripe heart to hear what it is you have to say. Rebecca was going through a very difficult, depressing time. And if I wouldn't have stepped up to the plate, I'm sure God would have used someone else. But I was going to miss out on the blessing of being able to walk with her and pray for her through this difficult time in her marriage. We need to fearlessly share the gospel. It's time to pray for boldness in sharing Christ with our family, friends, and coworkers. What are we waiting for? If today is the last day, what are we waiting for? If we pray for boldness, we need to be prepared to be forced to face our fear and then empowered to conquer it. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't really have anything that's different in our lives but our morals, our church attendance, and our television movie differences. Do they know we're different? Are we making Him famous? Christians are weird. No, I mean, you can laugh. I mean, we're weird because Jesus lived upside down. He did things so differently. He gave away His rights. He gave away His advantage. Jesus lived to love other people and tell them about the Father, about the water that would make you never thirst again. We have something we must share. We must make Him famous. And in order to live the best day ever, we need to share Him fearlessly whenever we open our mouths, because we should, because He saved us. I want to share with you my other mantra. I have two. The first is best day ever, and the second mantra is choose joy. Because all of this, the best day of adventure, comes from making a choice to live with joy. Notice I did not say happy. I was not happy when I lost my daddy to leukemia. I was not happy when I had cancer. I was not happy when I watched students being bullied. I'm not happy, but I have joy, because you know why? The joy is at the root of who Jesus is. And that joy can always happen. It's always consistent. Because Jesus is always consistent. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I want to say to you today that you can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you respond to it. And I want to make a caveat here. I know sometimes chemical depression or other things happening that we have no control over, and I want to let you know, I know you can't always make a choice when it comes down to that. But I do know that Jesus wants us to live a full life, and he's given us that gift. On the back of your handouts, there's an action plan. Some of you will fill it out, some of you won't. Some of you like to take notes, some of you don't. You do what's best for you. But I ask that you prayerfully consider, of these 8 points, what is it that I need to pray about so that I can live a John 10:10 lifestyle? A lifestyle where I'm living life to the full, how Jesus intended it. A lifestyle where I stop being negative and criticizing and start being the positive source. A lifestyle where I can find someone else who can mentor me and hold me accountable and help me to grow in the Spirit. We always need someone who is sharpening us. Iron sharpens iron. And no matter how young you are, you can mentor someone and they can mentor you. No matter how old you are, you can mentor someone and they can mentor you. Jesus meant for us to live in community together, to believe together, to be real together. To be transparent, when I say something like this to you from the pulpit, I did not want to pray for Rebecca because I thought maybe it might make me look foolish. But let's look back at our Savior. He rescued me from the fire, so why wouldn't I obey him regularly, daily? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So if you look at that action plan, it's just something for you to kind of soak in and think about and pray for. And what, Lord, do you have for me? Again, I'm not expecting you to be the Carrie who jumps in the snow or goes into cages and makes really strange videos. You're like, who is this person? That may not be your loud. But your loud could be with your coworker when he's struggling and going through a hard time. You're going to pray for them. You're going to spend your time in the Word, and you're going to grow. And you're going to live in the overflow of what Jesus has for you. Because when you get under that faucet and he pours that grace all over you, you can't help but tell someone else. When I had cancer, I was healed. I was healed of cancer. They went into the operating room. They took me in. I had this big bump on my ankle. And the surgeon said to my husband, this looks bad. This is sarcoma. This is something that we don't think we're going to be able to get rid of. 2 weeks later, the nurse calls me and said, it's benign. I believe firmly that Jesus healed my ankle. I believe it and I proclaim it. So the God who healed me, the God who has never forsaken me, the God who's always been there, the God who gave his own life just so that I would have the opportunity to spend eternity with him someday, I need to fearlessly declare him. I need to tell others about him. Moravia, I think a revolution could start here and you could win your entire town for Jesus. Moravia, I think we could start a revolution here and win your entire town for Jesus. I believe God has a best ever adventure ready for you right now. You just have to choose it. Thank you.